Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
How are we going to change? I'm not a worshiper, really. I'm not a worshiper. How can I feel in my heart and respond to the presence of God with awe and with wonder and with humility? I want to do that. How can I change? By praying. By praying, hallowed be thy name. Where you recognize that all of life is sacred. God doesn't look down and say, oh, that's secular. Oh, no, this is sacred. That's how we think. Oh, no, God sees the whole created order. He sees all of us as potentially sacred in that everybody was created in his image. That's tremendous, isn't it? We come to Christ, that image is beginning to be restored. And we become sacred. Everything we touch can be sacred.
The truth is, God made you to do this with all your heart. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young shares the rest of his message, Hallowed Be Thy Name, about how your heart will erupt in worship when you see God for who He really is. Keep listening. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in just a moment. Before we jump into Dr. Young's message, there's an encouraging resource being offered this month that you may find especially helpful in these challenging times. It's Dr. Young's booklet called Loneliness, and it's our way to say thanks for your donation today to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching people all over the world through this program. People everywhere deal with the devastating effects of loneliness, and it's only gotten worse in recent months. But God created you for a life of fellowship and fruitfulness as you learn to love others just as He loves you. And Dr. Young's booklet will help you embrace that life of community and relationship. So call now to request your copy of Loneliness when you give to keep this program encouraging you and many others around the world. Call 1-800-350-9255. That's 1-800-350-WALK. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Hallowed Be Thy Name, Part 2.
You say, well, what does it mean to worship? Hallowed be thy name. That's the beginning step of worship. How do you like the word hallowed? Have you used that lately? No, it's a kind of an old-fashioned word. It's an Anglo-Saxon word. It comes from the English word hail, H-A-L-E. Say, I don't know that word. Oh, yes, you do. We say to somebody, how are you doing? Well, I'm hale and hearty. There it is. Now, what does it mean to be hale? It means to be holy. It means to be separate. It means to be solid. It means to be complete. So you say, how are you doing? I'm complete. I'm holy. I'm solid. I've got it all together. I'm unique. I'm complete. All this is involved in the word hallowed. In our translations, most of them, even the new modern translations, they still use the word hallowed. And some of them have reverent be thy name. Unique be thy name, special be, but you can't beat hallowed, because this leads us to worship. Now, what is worship? Simple definition. By the way, if you ever write anything down, this might be what to write down, but I don't want to upset anybody. Worship is to feel in your heart. It's to feel in your heart and to respond with wonder, awe, and humility. It's to feel in your heart and to respond with awe, and wonder and humility. You meet God and God meets you. Worship. Did you know we were all built to be worshipers? That's the primary reason God sent his son in this world to clean up our act on the cross of Jesus Christ so we're able to worship. Have a divine appointment with God to worship. We are called primarily, say, who am I? I'm a worshiper if I'm in Christ. Who is God? He is a Father, our Father. So we know who God is and we know that we are worshipers, but in our society, how we have moved away from being worshipers. How far we've moved away from that. There is Moses in the wilderness, remember? All the people were thirsty, they were dying, and God said, Moses, speak to the rock. And Moses took that rod and struck the rock. Water came forth, but God says, Moses, you have responded to my sacred request in a very personal, secular way in striking that rock. Moses, guess what? You're not going to go to the promised land. His whole life was about going to the promised land. His whole reason for being alive was to lead the children into the promised land. But because he responded to a sacred request in a selfish, violent, personal, secular way, bang, he was prohibited. He was prohibited. Did you read in the paper about in a rural church, a young kid went in there and took a stick and just smashed everything? Did you read that? He just smashed up everything he could find in church in anger. Just smashed, smashed, smashed up. Broke up the whole church. The reason was he came from a tough family, had a problem with anger, and he wanted to go on a church picnic, miscommunication, he didn't get to go. So he went in there and just smashed up the church. Say, well, it's a horrible thing, the place that's set aside for God's business to be smashed like that. But we realize that you and I are in the smashing business. We take sacred things, they become secular. We have smashed up sacred relationships, have we not? Marriage is a covenant, sacred. And we've taken marriage and made it secular and say, I'm just ready to move on. Or we say the dumbest thing of all, I just don't love you anymore. As if love is a feeling instead of an action. We smashed the relationship between parents and children. Children are to honor and respect their parents. Honor and respect. And there is a biblical promise. Long will you be your days on this earth the Lord thy God has given you. When you respect and honor, it's a commandment with promise. And we are to respect and honor our parents even when they're wrong, even if they're out of base, even if you are 81 and they're 103, the respect and honor is there. We have taken and smashed sacred relationships. And we've smashed sacred days. Did you know in the commandments there's more written about the Sabbath than any other commandment? Than any other commandment. And we're in the new Sabbath. We're in the resurrection day of Sunday. And therefore, we should keep this day sacred. The scripture says we're to take one day out of seven and set it aside, and it's God's day. But what have we done? We have squeezed a secular, and Saturday night it goes on, and then Sunday, now we have all kind of games and Little League and activities, and Sunday afternoon, my goodness, there's always something going on. So we have squeezed out the sacred with the secular. And we forget that that first day of the week is a holy day. We've smashed Sunday. Also, we have smashed the sacred name. It is amazing to me when I hear people take God's name in vain. Let me tell you something. When that happens, you're in deadly barracuda waters with sharks spinning around, smelling your blood because God knows that you've not taken his name and made it sacred, and that's a big, big problem. Washington, D.C. Elevator in a hotel. Crowded elevator. And the last person getting on was an officer in the Air Force, and he got on the elevator. He had ribbons all over his chest. And some lady in the back of the elevator said, "Punch number 5. It's about time you, Lord's name in vain, blankety blank servicemen rendered some service." The officer punched the number in punch 5. Kind of a funny feeling on the elevator. You know, you've been around, something just kind of shatters you. And a guy said to the officer, "What's your last assignment?" He said, "I just got home from Afghanistan last night." He said, "Oh." The elevator door opened. The officer's getting off. He said very quietly, "There was an automobile accident, and I came home to bury my 18-year-old son." Elevator closed. There was a hush. There was a hush. Hallowed be thy name. We can't profane the name of the Lord. We can't do it. You say, "Well, how are we going to change? I'm not a worshiper, really. I'm not a worshiper. How can I feel in my heart and respond to the presence of God with awe and with wonder and with humility? I want to do that. How can I change? By praying. By praying, hallowed be thy name. Where you recognize that all of life is sacred. God doesn't look down and say, "Oh, that's secular. Oh, no, this is sacred." That's how we think. Oh, no, God sees the whole created order. He sees all of us as potentially sacred in that everybody was created in his image. That's tremendous, isn't it? We come to Christ, that image is beginning to be restored. And we become sacred. Everything we touch can be sacred. Second World War. Wallace is the only one here to remember that, old enough. In the Second World War, Hitler came and bombed the Coventry Cathedral there in England. And it was totally destroyed. It was left there in ruins, and totally outdoors. And they went, somebody put a sign on the altar of it. It said, "Father, forgive them." And then in this cathedral, they had these little chapels, these little alcoves here and here and here and here, all these little chapels all the way around it. And they put signs outside this chapel over here, and it said, "Hallowed be thy name in business." Another one said, "Hallowed be thy name in arts. Hallowed be thy name in family relationships. Hallowed be thy name in sports. Hallowed be thy name." And it went all around that chapel saying simply that in every activity of life, his name must be hallowed. Hallowed. What would happen to anybody here? Pick out any of us and say, in every aspect of my life or your life, his name can be hallowed. You can sign his name to it. So, "Well, you know, I've got some business deals I put my name to, but I don't want to put his name to. You know, I turn in my travel expenses. You know, everybody pads them. I put my name. I don't want to put the hallowed name to it. You know, I have this relationship that, you know, my name is on it. I'm a part of it, but, you know, I can't bring Christ. I can't put the name of God, the name of Jesus to that. I want to keep that sort of my own property there." You see, if we take all of our life, whatever we do, wherever we are, and say, in the sense, "Hallowed be thy name," everything we do is hallowed. "Hallowed be thy name in education." Oh, what a difference. "Hallowed be thy name in music." What a difference. "Hallowed be thy name in what we read." "Hallowed be thy name in what we watch." "Hallowed be thy name on the internet." "Hallowed be thy name." You see what a difference that would make? God sent his son, Jesus Christ, so we could pray, hallowed be thy name. And if you and I can pray, really pray, hallowed be thy name, it means we know who God is and we know who we are. We are worshipers and we're praising him by hallowing, making special his very name. Let me give you the whole gospel, the whole good news of what Christianity is all about in a different way. Listen to this. The highest became the lowest, so the lowest can become the highest. Did you get that? He who was the highest came all around to you and me who are the lowest, so that you and me who are the lowest may go all the way up to him who is the highest. That's Christianity. Hallowed be thy name. S.D. Gordon has a little book, old book on prayer. And in this book, he tells the story of a 14-year-old boy who cut class for 3 days. And finally, on the fourth day, the teacher called, thought he was sick, and said, "How's Stephen doing?" And they said, "What do you mean?" Mom and dad found out. I don't know how moms and dads find out. That worried me my whole life. And so they brought Stephen in. They said, "Stephen, it's a terrible thing. You've cut class these 3 days. You know that, don't you?" "Yes, sir." "But Stephen, more serious than you cutting class is you've lied about cutting class." He said, "If you lie, you can't be trusted. And there's nothing worse in life than to run into a liar, because a liar just can't be trusted." And they said, "Stephen, you understand that?" "Yes, sir." "And Stephen, we're trying to figure out an appropriate punishment for you. You're 14. Your mom and I have decided for the next 3 nights, as you cut school for 3 days, you're going to spend, when you come home from school, all the time in the basement by yourself. You're going to sleep down there. You're going to eat down there. You're going to be in the basement for 3 days when you're at home, and 3 nights." I said, "Yes, sir." First night, Stephen goes down. Parents are trying to read, and the father keeps, "You know, why my eyes are so watery tonight? The mother's over there fidgeting around, picking up. And she says, "I'm thinking about Stephen down in the basement." And I said, yeah. He said, "I am too." They went to bed about 12 o'clock, tossing, tumbling. He says to her, "Are you awake?" Husbands and wives understand that, don't you? You know when the other's awake. "Are you awake?" She said, "Yes." He said, "I can't sleep thinking about Stephen. I wonder if he's frightened down there sleeping in the basement." And she said, I'm doing the same thing. About 2:45, he woke up and sort of dozed off and woke up and dozed off. And 2:45, he saw her turning and said, "You awake?" She said, "I haven't been to sleep at all." He said, "I'm going down to the basement and spend the night with Stephen." So he picked up his pillow and his blanket, went down the steps into the basement. Stephen was on his bed. He hadn't been to sleep. He could see he'd been crying. And the father went down and lay down by Steve and put his arm around him. And their tears mingled on each other's cheek. And he said, "Stephen, your punishment stands. You're going to be down here these 3 days and 3 nights." But he said, "Steve, I'm going to be down here with you. I'm going to be down here with you." God woke up one night, picked up his pillow, picked up his blanket, and said, "I'm going down in the basement. I'm going down in the basement. All of those who are down in the basement. And I'm going to provide a way, not with a blanket and a pillow, but with a cross and 3 stakes. I'm going to identify with them on that cross. As they will die spiritually, I will die physically and take their punishment upon myself." The highest became the lowest, so that we who are the lowest in the basement may be elevated with a clean life to the highest. If you and I can really pray, hallowed be thy name. We know who God is, and we know who we are, worshipers. God is Abba Father, you and I are worshipers, and we celebrate the fact that he who was the highest came down to the lowest in the basement, that's all of us, so we will be forgiven and cleansed, and we can go up to the highest. Hallowed be thy name.
Today's message on The Winning Walk, titled Hallowed Be Thy Name, and Dr. Young is here in the studio with me now to answer a few questions. Dr. Young, I know a lot of people define worship as something they do at church on Sunday mornings, but being a true worshiper means a whole lot more than that, doesn't it?
It does, absolutely. We need to worship Him in spirit and in truth 24/7. A Christian's life is a life of worship. It's not just worship in a formal setting or worship in a private setting with our daily quiet time with reading the scripture and meditating. Certainly that's worship, but it carries over until your life, your lifestyle is filled with the truth of God. And that brings joy, it brings peace, it brings confidence, because we know that whatever we do, wherever we go, whatever we say, whatever we think, we're trying to give adoration and praise to the Lord God Almighty. So worship is something that we do corporately, we do privately, and we carry out in almost the hidden recesses of our heart as we walk through life.
You know, Dr. Young, you talked today about confusing the secular with the sacred. What do you do to avoid getting the two confused in your life?
This, once again, it goes back to worship. There's no such thing as this is sacred and this is secular. This is our Father's world. We are a creation of our Heavenly Father. And we are to understand that every particle of life, everything, every thought, every being, every activity, everything in the created order comes from the Lord God Almighty. Therefore, there's no dichotomy. This is sacred. This is church. This is the Bible. Oh, and this is a mountain, and this is a tree, and this is my computer. Oh, no. In God's kingdom, it is all sacredness because He is a part and desires to be a part every recess of our life.
Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope the Holy Spirit is moving through today's message to help you in your own winning walk with Christ. And we want to help you even further by sending you Dr. Young's booklet, Loneliness. You were created to enjoy a life of fellowship and fruitfulness, but so many people today feel trapped in an isolated existence. Discover how you can break free and step into the life of a loving community God wants for you with this helpful resource from Dr. Young. Loneliness is our special way to say thanks for your gift today to help keep this program strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy of Loneliness. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Listen in tomorrow as Dr. Young brings you an encouraging message about what the power of God's forgiveness can do in your life. You won't want to miss it.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support enable us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world. Write us at Winning Walk, Box 3366, Houston, Texas, 77353. That's Winning Walk, Box 3366, Houston, Texas, 77353. Or call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255.